I've been thinking a lot lately of just how the Lord made us. There are some things, and I think I'm going to mention this to some people, there are some parts that He's given us voluntary control over our bodies. You know, if I tell my hand to move and do this, it does it. Don't ask me how. Well, I kind of know a little bit of, you know, the systems that are in the body and all, but the mind and the brain working. But there are a lot of systems, thankfully, He hasn't given us control over. Like your heartbeat. Can anybody here control your heart? Slow it down. Change the blood pressure. How long would we last if we had to have control over our heartbeat? I don't know if we wouldn't last a day, right? Or breathing. Now you can hold your breath. We go swimming, we'll hold our breath to a point till we pass out and then we start breathing again. But the body God has made, all these systems, to function even without our conscious control. And if He didn't do that, we wouldn't last a day. Just cut yourself. Do you sit there and think, all right, cells, go to that spot and start to scab over, stop the bleeding? No, you don't. It just does it automatically. And I'm pretty sure, if I was a bad, I'd take up this bet, that in about a year, Polly Ruth is going to start having teeth come in her mouth. Baby teeth. Just to fit the right size of her face at that point. So that she could eat solid food. All that, the sciences tell us, well, that all happened by chance. They tell us that the things that happen by chance, it can't anticipate future events. It just happens as it is affected by the environment. And yet, in the womb, where we all were, all our organs were being made for a future world. Didn't have any use for it, you know, for our lungs in the womb and many other things. But in the new world that we were going to be born into, just like that, you have to start taking your own breath. Just like that, you tell mama that you're hungry. You tell her very forcefully that you're hungry. And Scripture tells us to desire the sincere milk of the Word like a newborn babe. That's the way we should want His Word. So, when we think of just how God has made us, and so many other ways, He has given His testimony that He's the living God. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, there are certain things that we can agree with what scientists tell us. In our day, all you have to do is say, scientists have said, and people believe that whatever they say is true. Scientists are modern-day Gnostics. It's just the same word, knowledge. The ones who profess to know. We can agree that there was a beginning. Because God's Word says, in the beginning. The world that we see around us, the heavens and the earth, had a beginning. And scientists said, yes, they have a beginning. The things that we've studied and extrapolate back said there must have been a point at which it all started. We'll agree with that. But Genesis 1:1 says, in that beginning, there was God. The world, the scientists say, in the beginning, there was nothing. And then, poof, all the world came into existence. That is their technical belief on how we got here. Now, I don't throw everything out that science says, but I throw that out. You know. Science over and over again says, here's an effect. What's the cause? And they go back and analyze the effect. Every time I throw the ball up, the ball comes down. Every time it happens. Now, there's no guarantee that the next time I throw it up, it won't come down. But they believe it's happened all these times. Every time, there must be some cause that causes it to happen. And in all their endeavors, in every field of science, cause and effect. There's cause, there's an effect. But when it comes to the first cause, when there was nothing and suddenly there's everything, they said, there's no first cause. There's nothing just became something. And that's the way it is. Because they do not want to allow, like they said, the divine foot in the door. Because then they might have to acknowledge that in the beginning, when the heavens and the earth were made, that wasn't the beginning of everything. God was there. And God was the first cause. And He was the creator. And all that we see is a display not only of His great engineering prowess, but His great artistic ability. You know, His power and His might to make everything. I mean, to make our body. And man is, I think, His greatest creation. To make us in such a way that we're conscious of ourselves. We're conscious of the world around us. And we can analyze. And we can look up at the stars and the moon and the sun and say, this didn't just happen by chance. All the Stone Age, you have to say this about the Stone Age tribesmen. They didn't have a lot of science, but they always worshiped someone greater than them. Yeah, they made their gods, their false gods, and they were like blind men. But when they looked out in the heavens and they saw the sun and the power of the sun and the moon and the stars at night and looked out at themselves on the earth, they said, this couldn't have just happened by chance. By time and chance. And yet that's what the world wants us to believe. Look at Psalm 19. David, out watching the sheep, looking at the stars in the heavens, he says this, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. It's interesting that the word for declare is where we get the word sapphire from. It's a blue stone, you know. And it's kind of interesting to be able to think, the heavens sapphire the glory of God. It shows us something of the one who made it. You can look at a painting and an artist do it, but it tells you something about the artist. And there are some paintings that are very artistic. It used to be all paintings were artistic. And I guess now some of the modern art have their own language and their own appreciation. But a lot of people question how artistic it is. But God's creation is beautiful. Even the idea that beauty that God has given us some things of beauty. They can't make a formula for beauty. And God gives us, allows us to appreciate what is beautiful. I was watching yesterday on YouTube, and there's a song called What a Beautiful Name. Have you ever heard it? But this was a talent show for World's Got Talent or America has Talent. And a young black guy got up and he sang, What a Beautiful Name! And glorified the Lord. He was using his abilities for his purpose here to glorify God. Why am I here? God created the heavens and the earth. The rest of the chapter tells us how he made us. And in Colossians, let's look at Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16. Paul is talking about the Lord Jesus. Start for verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created. When you look at the heavens, you know, they take telescopes and put them out in space to look deeper and deeper, and they see more and more suns and galaxies. The Lord Jesus is the one who made it. Visible and invisible. Our eyes only see a certain portion of what's really there. He made it. Thrones, dominions, principalities, powers. All things were created through him and for him. He's the creator. He's the maker, the manufacturer. And why are we made? For him. Why am I made? For him. And the challenge is, are we here for him? That young man got up there and sang that song. What a beautiful name. Jesus, my Lord. You know, in the midst of, it's easy enough probably to sing it at church, sing it here, but to sing it among mostly unbelievers who are going to critique your music ability, but to get across the message. What a beautiful name in the Lord Jesus. And have the boldness to do it. Why was he here? To sing that song. Why are we here? Not here at the assembly, but here at work. We're here at pickleball. We're here wherever we have interaction with unbelievers. God has put us here for him, for his glory. The creation is here for him and his glory. Each morning the sun comes up and declares his glory and enlightens the whole world. I love C.S. Lewis's comment. He says, I believe in the Bible like I believe in the sun, the S-U-N. Not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else. The sun allows, the light of the sun allows us to see everything around us. Take away the light and we're in total darkness. I can't see you. You can't see me. But the sun is there to enlighten our days. Every day it comes up like clockwork, right? You can set your, they used to guide the ships by the stars. And the more we learn about the star and the creation, the more we're amazed in its great power and majesty. And in the smallest, I mean, if we didn't trust the scientists to tell us all the things that are in the cells, we don't have a hard time believing it. I mean, now the microbiologists are telling us, in each cell, the cell is like a little city. with its transportation system, its micro machines, its gears, to have things move. They don't just move around by chance. They have little propellers, and they tell them where to go. Your digestive system. Well, we can say, well, this is good for us to eat. But we don't think, now, body, take this out of that food and take that part out of that and pan it over to the bloodstream so that every cell in the body gets fed. We don't think about that. It just happens by chance. No, it's all designed. It's in the DNA. It's in the code. The message, the language of the cells. And that language is the word. Scripture talks for language and reason and all is logos. It's written in the cells. And the planets, they all operate by mathematics. They figured out what the math should be of where the planet should be. When? And mathematics is just a form of logic. There's that word again, logos. God's message is printed all over His creation. His glories in the greatness, His glories in the smallness, and He allows us to be like Him, to see His creation and to praise Him, to be here to give Him glory. The early scientists were all Christians. And when they would discover a law or something new in creation, they would say, I'm thinking God's thoughts after Him. That's how He did it. They believed that science, that creation was logical because of the God of the Bible. His wisdom and power that it tells us. We should be able to go in there and analyze it and see how He does it and give Him praise and glory. The great story of the gospel. God always wanted to have fellowship with us. He made us in such a way that He could come walk in the garden the cool of the day as if that was His routine. I'll go see how Adam's doing. See what he might have discovered. Or about Eve. And one day he comes and nowhere to be found. He's hiding. And sin came in. Why are you hiding? Did you disobey? Did you decide you're going to make your own way? This morning, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. But remember, Lord, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The same one who wanted to have fellowship with us, the same one who created the universe, decided to enter into the universe. Look at John 1. John was one of his early followers. John, tell us what you saw about Jesus. Who was he? In verse 3. And this is my paraphrase, but I think it's true to the original. All things that came into existence through him. And apart from him, nothing came into existence that came into existence. He's the creator. Not one thing came into existence apart from him. And he decided to not invade. That makes it sound like he was an alien. But decided to come and visit this planet as a man. And think of it, God made us in such a way, also knowing that He would come as a man, and He wanted to reveal more and more of Himself to us. that he wanted to give us his word and speak like no one else spoke and share things about us. What are we? How did we get into this mess? Because there is something wrong. We see this beauty in creation. Yeah, we have to say, there seems to be something wrong there. He says it's sin. It's disobedience. We decided to be our own gods. And that's what Romans tells us. We say, if God was the one true God and revealed himself to early mankind, how did we get into this where there's these multitude of gods and the mess we see around us? Well, look at Romans chapter 1. Paul, he's looking at the Roman world, the world in general, our world today. And he sees 1:18. As he goes around there, all these false gods and people that turned away from the living God, the true God, say, I'll be my own God. I'll do what I want. And we can say, they would pick, now we have multiple gods because everybody didn't want the same thing. Well, all that designer gods. My God is, if I like alcohol, my God is Bacchus. He's the one I follow. Or if I'm into beautiful women, that's Aphrodite. That's my goddess, you know. And all these gods, a god for every sin. And a rejection of the true God. Look at verse 17. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. See, we wanted to be our own gods. We wanted to live like we wanted to live with no consequences. And anything that said, well, that's not what we see. It's not right out there. That's false. We suppress the truth. We know the press is very good at suppressing. They will advert the stories that they want to impress upon people. They'll highlight that. Over and over again, you'll hear about it. What they don't want you to hear is, well, the story that is against their agenda. We'll just put it on the back page. And they can say, well, we didn't suppress it. But they suppress the truth of the gospel, of the Lord Jesus, of the one who came here and lived like no man ever lived, the one who showed what God's heart was really like to sinful man. He was a shepherd that sought us when we were going astray. And we thought he was out to get us. And a lot of people still think that God's a killjoy. He's out. Anything that you might enjoy, God's right there at the last minute to snatch it away. And so you can blame him for it. It's the only time people acknowledge him. When they reap the results of their sinful ways, then we say, why did God do this? And I said, I prayed for him to stop that or not to allow that to happen. And he didn't do it. That's enough for me believing God. So man would accuse him. The woman you gave me, she gave me the fruit. It's your fault, God. If you didn't give her to me, I wouldn't have eaten that tree. Man, Adam learned how to blame somebody else. But God came down and dealt with each one of them. And you know what? When he came to Adam, Scripture says, in Adam, all die. It was because of Adam that we all got that sinful nature was passed on to his whole family. He was the head. He wasn't making the right decision. He knew he was disobeying God. But he did it anyway. And it had terrible effects on the human race. But thankfully, there's another head. We didn't have, it wasn't our fault that Adam did that, but he affected us. It wasn't us, what Jesus did for us as the new head of the new creation, where there would be righteousness and purity and holiness and no sin. It was God's grace, so that all who believe and are in Christ will have their sins forgiven. And we've all consciously sinned because we are sinners. But it goes, the sinful nature goes back to Adam. But we're guilty in the things we do. And no man can say, I did my best, God, and you wouldn't receive me. Abel can't get away with that. Or Cain, rather. He can't say, oh, you're favoritism. You know, you favored Abel over me. And God could say to him, look, you know the way to be received. Bring the sacrifice. Bring the lamb. And Abel and Cain went out and built himself a city. Said, if it won't be the way I am, I'll make my own world. I'll have my own technology. I'll have my own entertainment. I'll have everything that the cities would have. And I'll make my own rules. I'll decide what's right and wrong. You're not going to tell me what's right and wrong. I'll call. If I want to call wrong right, then I'll do that. I'm my own God. And that's why, you see, people don't like the idea to come and just say, I do what I want, and I don't care what you think. And I don't care what God thinks. They would rather say, science tells me there is no God. Science tells me we're the highest creature, so we're our own gods. Science tells me that I can tell what's right and wrong. Oh, the psychiatrists are telling me that. The psychologists and psychiatrists used to tell me that those things were sin and abnormal. Now they're telling us they're okay. They're good. You should be able to express yourself any way you want. Oh, the biology people used to tell us that this was male and this was female. We don't have to have male and female. I can be whatever gender I want. And there doesn't even have to be two. I make multitudes of them. Whatever I want. Because I'm my own God. And once I'm dead, that's it. I'm dead. How many people have believed that lie? They came from by chance. When they die, it's over. Now you see, if you caused me any problems while I was still in life, I can go out with a bang, and you take you with me. Who cares? Because once we're dead, we're dead. We have a poor history and a poor hope. That's what the world gives you. That's what's left. When you really look at evolution and man's saying, this is how we got here. We have nowhere to go. And there's no hope in the future. But that is a lie. Huge lie. God came here on earth to tell us the true story. Where we came from. Where we are. We have the wrath of God hanging over us because of our unrighteousness. But because of what he has done, he's removed that. We don't have the sword of Damocles hanging over our heads. We know that our sins are forgiven because the one we remember each Lord's Day morning bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Bobby mentioned how Peter talks over and over again about the suffering of Christ. And of course, that was major upon the cross. So that we can be free. We don't have to worry about the future. In fact, he tells us about the future. What a wonderful future and hope we have. What a wonderful message we can give. And why God has left us here to share that message with the people that he brings before us. When Paul goes throughout the Roman Empire, he sees all these false gods in Athens. That was the academic city of the world. And all these false gods around. That was what the academic world gave him. But there was one called the unknown God. He says, that's the one I want you to know about. That God wants to know you, and you can know him. And he's the living God who made heaven and earth. He's the creator. Didn't happen by chance. But he, all this time of looking at false gods and worshiping them, he overlooked. But now he commands everyone to repent and to believe in his son, that what his son did on the cross could save you. And if you trust and believe in him. We know there wasn't a big crop of believers at that, but there were a couple. They believed the message that he gave. And we give that same message. The world doesn't like the word repent. Much rather the word penance. Something where I can earn God's favor even if he was mad at me. Even if I did something wrong and I said, I'm sorry. That was enough. Now, repentance. Somebody said, repentance is the teardrop in the eye of faith. Repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. We sense what sin was because we look at the cross. We sense what God's love was because we look at the cross. And we believe what God said about ourselves, about himself, about what he has done and will do. And we cannot be deceived by the world. The living God, who was there when it was made. He didn't just come into existence later on or even before that. He always was. And he loves us. And amazing that he came and walked among. Must have been something to hear him. Must have been something to hear his voice and those who walked with him at that time. No wonder they always marveled. You see that word a lot. Marveled at him. All the things he did. Marvel. His name is wonderful. If we were there, we could say, wow. It just filled us with wonder how great he was. But he's given us the book. And even a man like Solomon, who for a while started well, but then he got into the academics, you know. And he tried everything that people say to try. And his phrase over the book is, vanity of vanities. All is vanity. When you leave God out and you try everything that the world has to offer and you made it to the top of the hill, you know what you say? Is this all there is? Is this it? Boy, was I duped. Boy, was I deceived. But you know, chapter 12 of Ecclesiastes, verse 1, he says this to young people. Remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Remember your Creator. Don't listen to the things when they say, there's no creator. He's just made up in the minds of men. Remember your creator. He made you. And he's also the one God has appointed a day. This is what he also said, Paul said to those in Athens. He's appointed a day. Well, he will judge the world in righteousness by the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember thy creator while you're young. Use the time he gives you. for the purpose for which He made you. He made you just the way He wanted you. You don't have to be somebody else. You can't say, well, I wish I was like so-and-so. Or I wish I was a different sex. Or I wish I was this. Or I wish I was that. He made you just the way you are. Mm-hmm. Just look at people. Johnny Erickson, been in a wheelchair. How long? You say, people, the world says, what good is her life? Look at what the Lord has done through her. Some serious accident happens to you. You can still honor the God who made you. He made you for a purpose. And to be here for that purpose. We're not here biding time. We're here to be used of the Lord. We were created by Him. And for Him. He's the great Creator, and to give Him the praise and glory and honor. So we just close in prayer. Lord, truly we are fearfully and wonderfully made in such a way that we can be here for You, to honor You in the midst of a world that rejects You, ignores You, marginalizes You. Help us, Lord, to be a testimony for You. And we thank You for Your word. We thank You for opening our eyes to see the truth and to proclaim it. I give You praise in Your name. Amen. Amen.